On the 24th of November, 1663, Otto von Rilke of Langenau, Granitz, and Ziegra was invested at Linda with the share of the Linda estate left by his brother Christoph, who had fallen in battle in Hungary. But he was required to sign a deed of reversion by which the feudal tenure would become null and void in the event his brother Christoph should return, who, according to the death certificate presented, had died as a cornet in the Baron of Pirovano's company of the Imperial Austrian Heister Cavalry Regiment. Riding, riding, riding. Through the day, through the night, through the day. Riding. Riding, riding. And courage is grown so weary, and longing so great. There are no hills anymore, hardly a tree. Nothing dares stand up. Foreign huts squat thirstily by muddied wells. Nowhere a tower, and always the same picture. One has two eyes too many. Only at night, sometimes one believes he knows the way. Perhaps at night, we always think back on the stretch of road we have won so painfully in the foreign sun. In summer at home. But we took our leave in summer. The women's dresses shimmered long out of the green, and we have been riding long. So it must be autumn. At least where sorrowful women know of us. Someone is telling of his mother. A German, evidently. loud and slow, he sets his words, as a girl binding flowers thoughtfully tests blossom after blossom, not yet knowing what the whole will come to. So he fits his words. For joy, for sorrow, all listen. Even the spitting stops. For these are gentlemen, every one, who know what is proper. German in the party suddenly understand it, feel individual words. At evening, was little. In this, they're as close as one, these gentlemen that come from France and Burgundy, the Netherlands, Carinthia's valleys, from the castles of Bohemia, and from the Emperor Leopold. For what this one tells, they too have experienced. And just as he has. As though there were but one mother. A day through the baggage train. Curses, colors, laughter. The countryside dazzles with it. Boys in colorful costumes come laughing, brawling, and yelling. Wenches with purple hats amid their full flowing hair. Beckoning. Men at arms come, iron black as wandering night, seizing the hussies hotly so that their clothes tear. Pressing them against the drum's edge. And at the wildest struggling of hasty hands, the drums awake as if in a dream, they rumble, rumble. Hold out lanterns for him, strange ones, wine gleaming in iron helmets. Wine or blood? Who can tell the difference? Von Langenau is writing a letter, deep in thought. Slowly he traces, in great earnest, upright letters. Thank you. my good mother. Be proud. I carry the flag. Be without worry. I carry the flag. Love me. I carry the flag. Then he puts the letter away inside his uniform in the most secret place next to the rose petal and thinks, perhaps someone will find it someday. And thinks, for the enemy is near. They ride over a slain peasant. His eyes are wide open, and something is reflected in them, that there is no heaven. Later, hounds howl, so a village is coming at last. And above the huts, a stone castle rises. They halt before a broad bridge. The gate looms large. The horns blare a welcome. Dogs neighing in the courtyard, hoofbeat and calling. Rest. To be a guest for once. Not always having to be one's own host with meager provisions. Not always to seize things enemy-like. For once, to let things happen to one and to know what happens is good. Not always to be a soldier, for once to wear one's hair loose and the broad collar open, and to sit on silk armchairs, and to be to the very fingertips as after the bath. And to learn again what women are. And how the white ones are, and how the blue ones are. What sort of hands they have. How they sing their laughter when blonde boys bring the beautiful bowls heavy with juice-laden fruit. Thank you. It began as a meal and became a feast, one hardly knows how. The high flames flared, voices echoed, incoherent songs clattered out of glass and glitter, and finally from the ripening measure sprang forth the dance, and it swept them all away. There was a crashing of waves in the halls, a meeting with each other, and a choosing of each other, a parting with each other, and a finding again, a rejoicing in the radiance and being blinded by the light and swaying in the summer winds that are in the dresses of warm women. Out of the dark wine and a thousand roses, the hour flows, intoxicated, into the dream of night. And the one who wears white silk knows that he cannot wake, for he is awake and bewildered with reality. So he escapes afraid into the dream and stands in the park, alone in the black park. And the feast is far away, and the light is deceiving, and the night is close around him and cool. And he asks a woman who leans toward him, "Are you the night?" She smiles. And then he is ashamed of his white clothes. And wants to be far away. And alone. And armed. Completely. Armed. room in the tower is dark. But they light each other's faces with their smiles. They grope for each other like blind people and find the other as they would a door. Almost like children who fear the night, they press close to each other. And yet, they are not afraid. There is nothing that might be against them. No yesterday, no tomorrow, for time has collapsed. And they blossom from its ruins. He does not ask, "Your husband?" She does not ask, "Your name?" For indeed they have found each other, to be for each other a new generation. They will give each other 100 new names and take them away again, gently, as one removes an earring. Is this the morning? Which sun is rising? How large the sun is. Are those birds? Their voices are everywhere. All is bright, but it is not day. All is loud, but not with the voices of birds. It is the rafters that glow. It is the windows that scream, and they scream red to the enemy who stands outside in the flickering countryside. Scream, "Fire!" And with torn sleep in their faces, they all crowd through, half iron, half naked, from room to room, from wing to wing, and search for the stairway. And with uncertain breath, horns stammer in the courtyard. Quaking drums. But the flag is not there. Calls. Cornet! Frantic horses, prayers, shouts, curses. Cornet! Iron on iron, signal, command. And the cavalry thunders away. But the flag is not there. He is running a race through the burning hallways, through doors that press in on him, red hot, over stairs that scorch him. He breaks out of the raging building. In his arms, he carries the flag like a white, unconscious woman. And he finds a horse. And it is like a scream, surpassing space, surpassing time, passing by those whom he knows. And the flag comes to itself again. And never was it so regal. And now they all see it, far ahead, and recognize the shining man without his helmet and know the flag. But then it begins to glow, unfurls itself, and becomes huge and red. Their flag now burns, surrounded by the enemy, and they gallop toward it. Following spring, it came sad and cold. A courier of the Baron of Piravano rode slowly into Langenau. There, he saw an old woman crying.